Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Hollywood showdown. Who will be QB1 when the curtain falls on Super Sunday? We answer that question. Meanwhile, a Hall of Fame voice from Cowboys past has a blunt assessment of Jerry Jones. The question is, will it cost Dallas its last best shot? Plus, another Hall of Famer knows exactly what the Packers need to do now. And the answer is going to surprise you. We've got all the answers. It's time to get up on a Wednesday. Starting right now, we are presented by DraftKings. And look at the squad we have put together today. Kmart is set up shop for the week. Delighted to have her here. Ninko is in our studio. Yeah. Jeff Saturday is here on a Wednesday. And the main man, Dominique Foxworth, is ready to go as well from home as we count it down 4 days away from Super Bowl 56. Here's where we stand. The Bengals arrived in L.A. just before noon local time yesterday. They will practice at UCLA's Drake Stadium throughout the week leading up to the big game. Of course, led by their star young quarterback, Joe Burrow, who was sacked an NFL high 51 times during the regular season. Cincinnati's offensive line will be tested in a big way, of course, against a Rams front that features Aaron Donald and Von Miller and others. Meanwhile, Matthew Stafford threw 17 interceptions this year, which were tied for the most in the league. The only quarterback to lead the NFL in interceptions and win a Super Bowl was Eli Manning in 2007. And so it does sort of present an interesting question. If you want to describe these as weaknesses, if you will, Stafford has thrown all the picks. Burrow gets hit all the time.
Yeah.
Which one of those turns into the bigger problem here and thus maybe determines the outcome of the Super Bowl, Jeff?
Interceptions, without a doubt. And listen, you saw on the graphic, it's not only interceptions, it's pick sixes, which is enormous. And you talk about momentum swinging in a game, especially the Super Bowl, more games are lost than won. And situations like that, when teams can capitalize and take you either out of the red zone or go score themselves, it becomes enormous. The number one factor for the Rams to win the game is Stafford protecting the football. And he has played incredible in the playoffs, but those interceptions, that's going to be the key factor for this game.
You made the same point this morning as a guy who played on all those Patriot teams.
Well, you have to think, most games, these big games in the playoffs are decided by turnovers.
Yeah.
The two Super Bowls that I won, we all know the Russell Wilson interception on the one-yard line, and we know the Matt Ryan fumble with Dante Hightower. That really changed the momentum of that game. So if you look at it, turnovers, I know we say it every single week, but that is the number one factor in the playoffs. If you turn the football over, you might lose. And that one or two, you don't know if it's going to be the one, but I'm telling you, if you turn the ball over, you lose football.
And let me say this. For this game in particular, the moment feels so big that, that it's not the normal, 16, 17 game stretch, right? We could get this back. Like, the moments feel enormous.
Exactly.
And so that momentum swing is so much bigger in this game than other games.
Hambo, with the stats here, teams that win the turnover battle in the Super Bowl, they're 38-6 in the Super Bowl. 38-6.
It's a pretty good percentage. And actually, Kmart, it's interesting because you've got a quarterback who's 34 years old and been around a long time in this game, and then you have the kid in his second season.
Yeah.
Which one do you have more confidence in to handle all of this on Sunday?
100% Joe Burrow. And,
wow.
And that's scary. That's scary because think about it. His rookie year was curtailed by that devastating knee injury. So he's almost like a redshirt freshman in a sense, but he walks around like he's a vet. And part of the reason you believe in this team is because of that. You know, when you talk to players on this team, as you know, I'm the ESPN Ohio, State Bureau reporter.
Yeah.
I've covered the Bengals a lot this year. And when you talk to these guys like Joe Mixon and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, they talk about Joe Burrow being, it's the poise. That's what they love. It's not, we love the swag. I love the swag, but they love the poise because no matter what, he's getting knocked around, it doesn't faze him, which is crazy when you think about how young he is.
Do you buy that, Dominique, the idea that while Burrow is 9 full years younger than Matthew Stafford and has so much less NFL experience, that when you consider all the big games he's played and everything else, that the edge in that regard in this game actually goes to Cincinnati?
Yeah, I absolutely think if you're going between those two quarterbacks in isolation, I think Joe Burrow is probably more comfortable. But back to the turnover point, I think that both of those guys are right that the turnovers are a big factor. But in my view, turnovers are about opportunities. It's how many times you throw it at the team and how many times they catch it, how many times you fumble. And those sacks, those are turnover opportunities too. So I think that you guys are underappreciating how dangerous it is to give up a bunch of sacks. Those are sack fumbles that could turn into turnovers and short fields for the other team. So I think that the interceptions are less of a problem than the pressure is going to be for Joe Burrow.
You talking in my good ear, bro. You know I love you, Fox. You know I love you. Bring that O-line in, how important we are. Protect Joe Burrow. Zach's got to be down.
My
good ear.
My dog. So why'd you go with the interceptions then? You know the truth.
If you guys gave up, your offensive line gave up 9 sacks. Oh. Joe Burrow seems to act as though that's just part of the game plan. How would Peyton Manning have handled that?
Oh, we're getting Gatorade coolers dumped on people. We're getting some words that we can't say on this family show being spit out at us. I can rest assured people getting fired in Indy if we give it up 9 sacks. We give up 9 sacks in a season. Right. Dang sure ain't giving up in a game. If we did, all hell would break loose in the Indianapolis Colts organization. They are protecting it, dude. Yeah. It's crazy. I have never seen a player, and to Kimberly's point, as calm and as collected as he is. It's like he can push forward to the next play and he's just as relaxed. It's incredible. Like his ability to put that poor play behind and move forward and still lead his football team. I'm telling you, I have never seen a quarterback be like, and you're talking about the greats, whether it's Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. When you get around those guys and you start falling at their feet, all of a sudden they become different. For whatever reason, he has not gotten there, and I don't know if it's because of his age, but this guy's coming off an ACL, which is even more impressive.
So Nico, if someone were to say, as a guy who made your living rushing the passer, someone were to say, yes, the Rams will get theirs as far as that defensive front, and they will hit Burrow, but that doesn't really bother him or the Bengals that much. It sounds crazy for me just saying the words out loud. Is it crazy?
I mean, it is crazy to think that he has that poise, because as a defensive lineman, when you get after the quarterback, we used to say, we're in his head. We're getting at his feet. Mm-hmm. And when you start to get pressure on the quarterback in the pocket, they start to get antsy. They start to get a little uncomfortable. They start to look at the rush. And he still evaluates the field, and he goes to the proper receiver. That is the most impressive thing. Usually, when a quarterback is rushed often and he gets hit a lot, he starts looking at the rush. And then that messes everything up, all the timing, all the routes.
They get
nervous in the pocket. And that's every question. Hey, Tom, let me tell you about Tom.
I was going to say, talk about Tom.
He'd do the ghost duck. Like, if somebody was close, he'd duck. Peyton Manning? He fell down.
He fell down. The dudes would just run over to try to touch him. Just to get that sack.
I'm down. So I'm on the sideline screaming, stay up. Stay up. Tom, don't fall. It'll fall down. I'm like, oh, he fell.
All the man's secrets.
Kmart, the Burrow piece of this, however, is they've done everything you're not supposed to do. Yep. They went down 21-3 on the road against Patrick Mahomes. That's a game that you were not supposed to. Well, you played that game 100 times. You should not win it once.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem to me that any of the rules necessarily apply when it comes
to
him.
That is what is beautiful about this Bengals team, because they technically shouldn't be here, you know, with this young quarterback, this young head coach, all these receivers. This is a team that week after week, they were inconsistent throughout the early part of the season. But the second half of the season, they've been down. They found every single way to win a game, down to the Chiefs. They've beaten Derek Carr and the Raiders. They've beaten Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, a full complement with Derrick Henry and this Titans offense. And then they beat the Chiefs on the road. Every single time you think, oh, well, Joe Burrow's good, but there's no way they're going to do this, they say, guess what? We're here.
Dominic, put a ribbon on it as far as this piece of it is concerned. The quarterback battle that could very well decide Super Bowl 56.
Right. I think you have to take the good with the bad with both of those things. The great thing about Joe Burrow is that he can create time in the pocket with his athleticism and make big plays. But also, sometimes when he's trying to create time, he's not throwing the ball away and he gets sacked. The same thing is true for Matt Stafford. He can make some incredible throws deep down the field for big time plays, but also sometimes he throws it right at your Kwiski tart. So we just need to find out which one of these quarterbacks is going to do less of the bad and more of the good. In my view, it's going to be the Rams, because they have more people to take pressure off of Matt Stafford than Joe Burrow. It's a lot for Joe Burrow to carry, even though he's cool as hell.
All right, we will have so much more on this. There's a ton of football news out there, but this is also an enormous week in the NBA. And I want to show you something that happened last night, because the Lakers, coming off a nice home win, had been home and resting the last couple of days, taking on the defending champs. Statement game for L.A., right? Wrong. It was Giannis who came and made the statement. That was the first quarter three. Now here's Giannis again in the corner. He was 5 of 5 from the floor in the first, and the Bucks were up by 14, and they were just getting started. Late in the half, this is Giannis guarded by LeBron. That's not a good matchup for the King. Giannis had 23, 8 of 8 from the floor in the first half. Under a minute to play in the half, LeBron clearly frustrated, goes in for the slam. Now he's looking at the ref. Now he's going to get himself a technical. LeBron teed up at home. Lakers down 22 at halftime, and it never got better. Look at Giannis on an alley-oop. He would score 44 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists. Bucks in a blowout. And after the game, LeBron asked, what did this one mean?
Yeah, it tells us we ain't on their level. I mean, I'd have told you that before the game started.
Do you think you can reach that level?
Where they are right now? I don't know. Do I think we can reach the level where Milwaukee is right now? No. Is that what you want to hear from me? No.
Look at Anthony Davis sitting there.
He said before the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
we didn't think we were going to win.
Quick minute. Yeah, we
didn't think we were going to win, so it's fine.
That's LeBron James saying we can't get to their level.
And he knew before, like, hey, let's just roll it out here. Yeah. Lose anyway.
I mean, basically he's saying they got to play their worst. We got to play our best to give ourselves a shot. That hurt. You go into that locker room, that cuts deep, man. Yeah. That cuts deep.
I mean, it was an absolute blowout from the word go. We're going to get the basketball guys in here a little later, talk about what it means. Meanwhile, we got a ton more football to do with this crew as we go. Just when you thought Tom was gone, he keeps pulling us back in. Could we really see a Brady return? We got Minko here with the perspective. Plus, a Cowboys legend had a lot to say about Jerry Jones' decision-making. It wasn't flattering. You will hear it coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is presented by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and in part by Tempur-Pedic, helping you get the deep, undisturbed rest that you deserve. All right, with Ninko here today, we're going to show some of the guys' Super Bowl moments.
Yeah.
This was Ninko sacking Russell Wilson. Go ahead, Ninko, take us through the play.
This is backer left. I'm looking for a hole. The guard moves to try and help with the center. Boom, find the gap, go get him. Right now I'm looking for it. Hands on the center, guard, boom, got him.
The hesitation.
See the tackle go out?
Oh.
And afterwards, the offensive line's like, ugh.
Let me tell you what the offensive lineman's saying. Throw it! Throw it! Russell, throw it!
See, look, come around.
Look, done.
Done.
That is Nico with the sack.
And then on that one, I put my hands up because, you know, you don't want a flag in that.
Yeah, you didn't want a body splash.
You go like this.
Yeah.
That is well done. All right, we'll have more of those as we go. All right, so either ors. Dominique, here we go. Who's going to have the better of it on Sunday, Joe Burrow or the Rams pass rush? Who you got?
Yeah, I think I got to go with the Rams pass rush. I think Joe Burrow's athleticism is going to make some plays, but in the long run, all of these awesome athletes, two of them future Hall of Famers up there, are going to make plays, maybe cause some sack fumbles in some drives, and give the Bengals a whole lot of trouble.
All right, now come to you, Ninko.
Yes.
Cooper Kupp or the Bengals secondary? Who you got?
I'm going with the Bengals secondary because Cooper Kupp is the go-to guy. And if you are the Bengals secondary, I know Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, if you do not get hands on Cooper Kupp, you are wrong. If you're a defensive end and Cooper Kupp is crossing your face at any point, you hit him. You get your hands on him. So I think the secondary, coached up the proper way, you're going to make sure that somebody else makes the play and not Cooper Kupp.
Maybe that someone else will be OBJ. Meanwhile, how about the other side, Jeff Saturday, Jamar Chase or Jalen Ramsey? Who you got?
I'm going Jamar Chase. They both went defense. I'm going offense. Look, you're trying to man a guy up. Jamar Chase is nasty, and the relationship between he and Joe Burrow, they understand where that back shoulder throw, if it need be. He's got the speed to take you over the top. I don't think it's going to be the matchup everybody expects. I think they'll match up one-on-one less than 50% of the time, but if it's an all-day battle, I would definitely go Jamar Chase.
Now, it's so spectacular, and again, he and Burrow played together with great success in college. All right, we'll get back to the Super Bowl as we go, but now to this. After an early playoff exit and a wave of new coach hirings, the Cowboys retained Mike McCarthy and the offensive coordinator Kellen Moore and the defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. Cowboys coaching legend Jimmy Johnson weighed in yesterday on Fox on Jerry Jones and the way he makes coaching decisions. Listen.
Well, Jerry, he doesn't ever want to admit that he's wrong, you know, and so he's going to hang with whoever, Jason Garrett or whoever, and try to make it work. And, you know, I think he really values the talent on that team such that he feels like McCarthy can be successful and he can improve, especially with Dan Quinn and with Kellen Moore, with the assistance that he's got.
All right, so that was Jimmy with Colin yesterday. And again, doesn't like to admit that he's wrong.
Okay.
And thus, that's the reason Mike McCarthy remains the coach. Kmart, what do we think of that?
If I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm like, yo, how many people are going to take shots at me? Damn. Listening to that, that's hard to hear if you're a coach. Because the thing about the Cowboys is this does not feel like a situation where a head coach can thrive, a team can thrive. There's so much speculation. The minute Sean Payton retired, everyone was like, okay, boom, makes too much sense. Whenever he feels like come back to football, he's going to go right to the star. And if you're Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones hasn't really come out and been, you know, I don't know.
He hasn't even said,
he hasn't even been profuse in like his praise. Like, if you want to keep the guy, keep him and make it known. But even the speculation is the players have heard it and been paying attention to it, and that's not a good situation.
Well, that's the part that's interesting. Look, Jerry is the one who last week said, well, I mean, the reason my coordinators are back is because they'd both like to be the head coach. Let's see how it all turns out
That's right.
Because it could go in that direction. But that is, I think you bring up an interesting point. For the three players here, When you played for a coach who had as much credibility and was as rock solid in his job security as you could possibly be in Bill Belichick.
Yep.
This is the opposite of that. When the whole world is talking about your coach getting fired, how does that affect the locker room?
I mean, I think you are aware of it. As a player, you're in the locker room. You hear stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to read stuff. It motivated me plenty of times. But you know, you think about McCarthy. You know, you're a kid. You get that punching bag thing. It's like got the sand in the bottom, and it goes down. It comes back up. Goes down. But eventually, it doesn't last. It pops, right? That's kind of like McCarthy. Like, he just get every interview, he's just getting boop. And then he comes back up, but then some big kid jumps on it. Pow! That thing pops.
Elbow drop.
Oh, that's,
I mean, McCarthy at this point, he probably can't even turn on the television. He's probably pissed off every day. But anyway, you know, I think as a player, you do see that. And, you know, I've heard that he's kind of a player's coach. But at the same time, you have to have that stern ability to flip a switch. And Bill always...
Oh, yeah.
Always held everybody accountable. And you saw things this season which they weren't held accountable. And they lost games because of time management, because of, you know, special teams play, because of poor penalties.
Yeah.
Sloppy, undisciplined. And you can't win. You can't win before you prevent yourself by losing. And that's penalties. That's false starts, interceptions, fumbles. And Jerry Jones right now, he's licking his chops because Sean Payton is out there.
Yeah.
And he knows he's out there. So eventually, Mike McCarthy won't laugh.
Look, this is really where the Jerry factor comes in, because the coaches he's had who were those kind of hard-nosed authoritarian-type coaches, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells, they didn't last. Why? Right. Because they don't have the ultimate authority.
Yeah.
It's one thing for the coach to say, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. It's another thing for them to be someone standing over his shoulder saying, well, maybe not.
Yeah, yeah, do a little different.
And so that's why maybe he can't have a coach like that.
No, you're exactly right. And he's going to have to come to some point where he actually gives the control to the head coach. And you know, Kimberly's talking about he's not coming out and giving praise. Silence speaks volumes, right? Because what would you praise? Like, he literally had one job the entire season. He's not a coordinator anymore. He's not calling plays. And they had more, you know, to talk about accountability. How are you going to hold your players accountable when three or four times during the season you screwed it up as the head coach? So it's very difficult to go through as the head coach and say, oh, no, guys, we're not going to do it this way. We're not going to do that, when you yourself aren't carrying to that standard. So I think from his perspective, that silence speaks volumes of, and honestly, I think the two coordinators probably helped keep his job, because those two, listen, DQ for Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, those dudes love him, and they're playing hard for him. Kellen Moore, he's still growing. His reputation is solid, but guys like playing for him. That will keep this locker room together, because it will be in spite of, not because of.
Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us, or generally, we talk about player coach as if it's a bad thing, as if it's you need a hard-nosed guys to get things done. But I think sometimes in a situation like this where it feels like the world is kind of closing in on your coach, having a coach that you like, it matters. So, like, the team could react differently. Like, they can take charge of the situation to protect this guy. Like, this could motivate them through the offseason. Whenever it's kind of us against them, right now, if they think it's them, if they see Coach McCarthy as them, then it's a problem. If they see him as us, then they're like, they're picking on our guy. Then they take control. Then they instill the discipline. Then they are on top of each other for penalties. Then they are on top of each other for mistakes. And they're on top of him to get things better. So there is a slim chance that all of this pressure, all of this turmoil, and all of this contentiousness, like, it turns into something positive for the team, as long as they are properly led from the players, not McCarthy. He can't do it because Jerry Jones is there.
Well, I'm glad that Dominique is bringing up the players, because I just was in Las Vegas at the Pro Bowl and I talked to Michael Parsons, who was one of the key defensive players and leaders on this team despite his age. And he said, I love Coach Mike. He's a PA guy. Obviously, he went to Penn State. You know, he's a player's coach. And when you hear the speculation, it is tough. But, you know, nobody on this team was happy with how we went out. Nobody was more upset than Micah. Asked what he's going to remember about this season. It's, hey, we got bounced early, and I'm going to take that with me. Like, this kid is a dog, but I don't think this team has enough of them, and I think that's sort of the problem. You need more Micah Parsons personality on offense and defense.
Does that team not have enough dogs, however
we want to define
that?
Absolutely. Like, it's got to be player-led. Like, I played with Tony Dungy and Jim Caldwell, two of the most, you know, quiet head coaches. Yeah. It wasn't about coach motivation. If they're looking for motivation from Mike McCarthy or any other coach, that team's going to fail. They got too many big contracts. Those guys need to step up and run the locker room.
Fascinating to see where that goes from here. We are just getting started on Get Up Today. Coming up, Tom Brady knows a thing or two about comebacks, right? But what are the chances he makes his biggest comeback of all sometime this year? I'm going to tell you why I think the chances are pretty good. Plus, wait till you hear what a Packers Hall of Famer says the team should do with Aaron Rodgers. I promise this is going to surprise you, and you'll hear it coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by DraftKings.
Hi, I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and tomorrow, February 10th, tune into our NBA trade deadline special from 1 to 4 Eastern. We'll have all the Woj bombs, including our top NBA analysts, with insight on all the trades around the league. So tomorrow, catch NBA Today from 1 to 4 Eastern on ESPN.
Good stuff tomorrow, and we'll work our way through that today. In the meantime, back to the NFL here
on Get Up. It's been just over a week since Tom Brady officially retired from the NFL, and already he is opening the door to a comeback. He was on his Let's Go podcast earlier this week, and here's what he said.
I'm just going to take things as they come. You know, I think that's the best way to put it. And I don't think anything never, you know, you never say never. And, you know, at the same time, I know that I feel very good about my decision. So I don't know how it feels 6 months from now. I think it's not looking to, you know, reverse course. I'm definitely not looking to do that. But in the same time, I think you have to be realistic that you never know what challenges there are going to be in life. That's as honest as I can be with you there, Jim.
He's being very honest with Jim, who is Jim Gray. Look, that's 6 days after he retired.
I mean, Giselle's going to pull the plug on this podcast.
I just retired.
Stop talking now, please.
So, Nico, again, you know him so well. You were the first person that I was aware of who said it, and you said it here on this show, that it wouldn't surprise you if he retired. You said that weeks ago. Would it surprise you if he came back?
No, it wouldn't surprise me if he came back. But listen, when you're a football player, you always want to play the game. Absolutely. And if somebody asks you, like, and you're recently retired and you retire on a high note and you had no injuries and you threw for 5,000 yards.
You know.
And maybe say, I don't know, midseason, someone has an injury or someone says, hey, Tom, how you feeling? You know, you get enough of the beach. You're feeling good. Like, you're feeling healthy.
That happened to you? Did someone call you?
I think that, yes. I mean, I had a discussion when I was retired. Hey, Rob, you know, there's a need. Would you be interested? And I had to take some time. I thought about it. And when you can leave on your terms, it's a much better route than most of the players. I'd say 90% of most all football players either go out injured or not on their terms.
Right.
It's the team's terms. It's that you get your contract terminated, then you don't have another chance. So when you can go out your way, it kind of puts the cherry on top and you can digest it a lot better. I know plenty of guys that had a bad injury or an IR, and they're trying to get back. They're trying to get back two or 3 years after you're done. Because usually if you're out the league 2 years,
it's
you're done.
Yeah.
You're not coming back. So, you know, a lot of guys, they still want to play, but they don't have the opportunity.
Right.
When you go out on your own terms and somebody calls you, you got to think about that. Well, if I go back, because I kept thinking, if I go back and I tear my Achilles and I tear my Achilles up, would I be mad at myself?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'm great. I could run right now. So, you know, it'll go through his head, but it'll be up to Tom. Like, where is he at on that decision? Where is he at that time? Nobody knows, but he'll have an opportunity.
Look, there's also, I think, another factor in all of this, and I hope this does not sound as though I'm saying it in a negative way. He doesn't feel to me from a distance as though he's a person who retired because he didn't want to play anymore.
Right.
He retired because he feels it is in the best interest of the people around him, which I think is well-intended and terrific.
Yeah.
But I think that does change the dynamic as well. He's not done with the game. And I think that very much leaves the door open to this possibility.
Listen, I've become a fanboy. He's toying with my emotions right now. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, this dude's 44 years old. I live vicariously through him. I'm like, he should be the MVP this season. Like, how incredible is that? Those for 5,000 yards, leads the league, got the most, you know, the most completions, the most attempts. I'm like, this is a thing of beauty. He's going to continue to do this and literally become famous. So it has messed with my emotions. Yesterday and today, I'm like, I was devastated for the retirement, but totally respected it. He and Giselle and their family man walk off. Now he's bringing me back. He freaking reeled me in. I'm thinking, and to Nick's point, like, I was in that same situation. My wife, we decided, you better lose weight, because I walked away and I was like, if I don't lose weight and a team calls, I'm going to want to go play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the bottom line, because you do have that desire does not go away, and it's not going away from him. I'm just, man, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't crossing my fingers going, I'd love to see him do it again. Love to see it.
Kmart, 6 days.
Greeny, that was my reaction. Like, this man couldn't even wait a week before he was like, you know what? I'm not going to say never say never on whether I'll be back. And for me, I love it, because I'm not ready to live in a world without Tom Brady playing football. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry, Giselle. It's not about you anymore. It's about what I want. What I want is to see Tom Brady play football, because he's not done. And I think he is, we've talked about it on the show, he's such a maniac. He's so good. When you see the best to ever do it, and he didn't get injured. He literally said, I'm done. But it doesn't feel like emotionally fit, like he is done. You feel like there's still more to give the game. And maybe that's unfair. We're selfish. We want to see the best 100%. Ever do it. It is selfish. And Sorry, Giselle, yeah. But really, you know, it is. So. But again, I completely understand why she, at this point she's sort of like, can you sit down on the couch on a Friday night, Netflix, and chill a little bit? Like, yeah. I get it.
Look, life and marriage and relationships, they are about compromise. And so finally, it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. But go ahead.
I think people are missing, there is a family element to it, but there's a mental side of being at the top and always having to be in a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, and the mental struggle of having the expectations of every single time you step on the football field, you're supposed to win. You're supposed to take this team to a Super Bowl, where you have other teams, if they just win a division, they're popping bottles of champagne in the locker room. For Tom Brady,
he said
it's a failed season.
Him. Yeah.
So I think that we're also not seeing the side of it that is probably more challenging than the family
thing. A little burned out.
It's the physical, mental side of it. It's the burned out emotional side of it.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. Neek, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you guys need to stop being selfish. Let that man live. He can go have his – he can, like – if he comes back and stinks, then you're going to be like, man, he should have retired on top. Leave that man alone. Let him have some drinks and be pissy drunk like he was after they won the Super Bowl every day for the rest of next season. He deserves it. Leave that man alone. But I will say, you know, we've never seen a quarterback come back midseason and win a Super Bowl.
See?
You think Tom Brady's done it all?
You see?
You think
see,
Tom
Dominique.
Brady's done it all? There's one
the challenge.
Thing you haven't
Leave
done,
that
Tom.
Man alone,
There's
except.
There's one thing you haven't done. You have not come back midseason to win a championship. I'm just saying.
Are we leaving him alone or are we saying he needs to come back? What are we
Tom
doing?
Tom Brady right here. He got us all.
Saying, a lot of people saying that you can't do it, Tom Brady. That's the word on the street. People saying you can't do it.
All right. Dominique Foxworth just got circled at Tom Brady's house somewhere. I will say this. He did once get suspended for the first four games of a season, come back, and win the Super Bowl. Yeah. So he's done something similar, but not exactly that. All right. Now it is time for something that Tom Brady has probably never eaten in his life because of his strict diet. Let's get the pancakes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Set him down Let's is a go. Keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh!
For the pancakes, the crew is ready to go here.
Oh,
Let's
yeah.
Go.
We gotta get them up.
Go.
Wait, check it out right here. Look at the shoes.
Look at
My son Josh would love them shoes right there. We're getting hype on them shoes, them J's. Can't believe let them see it like this. Dominique, make sure you see those, bro. Bring those next time we're here. We got pancakes. We got the smell. We're about to turn this thing up, dog. We're gonna turn it up. There you go. Dom's at home getting hype. We're all getting hype. Let's see it. We're gonna start out with the best pancakes from the Rams and Bengals this season. We're gonna start out with Austin Corbin. Why? Because we're starting off the offensive line, because that's what we do.
That's
Normal
what we
run,
do.
Watch them highlighted. Right here. Out, getting off. No, sir. Double down. Head on the turf. Neat knows what that
Eat
feels
a pancake,
like.
Man.
He felt
Eat
that
a
way.
Pancake.
He felt, oh yeah. One pancake down.
Ready?
One,
hold on. Ready?
Ready? One down.
Ready? Ready? Where's it at? Where's
yeah.
the pancake?
Bam! Right there.
Where's
that's
that
it.
Is.
That's it
he
right there.
Roll.
You see taking it?
You got to flip on that.
Austin Corbin getting one pancake, dumping him down. I like it. Now listen, we're going to two because you're about to see two pancakes. Watch Spain, and then we're going to watch my man Uzama, who's going to come up here to Spain, getting one. Now watch right here as he's coming down. Get some of that! Oh! Two down! That is what I'm talking about.
Where's it at?
When you see little, look right there. Oh my word! Boom. Did you see the helmet? The helmet shook. Oh, it was such a nasty block. Absolutely love it. Two pancakes.
You got more pancakes.
We have it two times. Now we're gonna see Spain. We're gonna highlight him. We're about to have a screenplay, y'all. The greatest play for offensive linemen.
Screen.
I want you to watch this right here. Watch him come through. Watch him try to.
Oh no!
Got him! Got him! Made him pay for it. This is a thing of beauty when you see him. And then he lays on. Just laying
you
there.
Flip the pancake.
Gets it right there. Yeah. No re-roll. He absolutely takes it. And he enjoys it. That's what I'm talking about, Spain. On here twice.
Wait, he tried
three pancakes. He tried.
He tried.
He tried. No,
oh,
sir.
Yeah, see?
And then listen, I'm gonna give you one more because we gotta go two for two because it's everything's even. We're going Cooper Kupp. When a little man ain't scared to get in and have some action, I want you to watch his block. Coming up in here, tight. That's what I like. I like Cooper Kupp. I like the attitude. Oh. We always talk about these things. We want to see Nasty. He catches all the passes. He gets all that.
Oh,
look at that.
He mushed him.
Oh, yeah. He tried to duck him down. It looks like this right here.
I got
this right here. Just put it right there. We can't get him on the bottom of the shoes. But we got, that's the extra. We can't give numbers. That's the extra for, oh, look right here.
I like that move.
Oh, my word.
He's fuzzy right there. He's a little fuzzy.
Thing of beauty. Foxy, we missed you, but we got hype in here today.
The best thing about this is that Kmart literally changed into the Jays for the pancakes.
Yes.
Gotta love it.
That's great dedication. Dominique, what do you think?
I love it. Outstanding. Cooper Kupp, you don't get a pancake, though. That was butter. That wasn't pancake. That was a slippery butter move. That was not a pancake. He kind of sidestepped him and pushed him down.
No.
That don't count.
Give me that baby pancake.
That's it.
Give me that done with you.
When Nick comes in here next week, I want you to knock him down. We're too rolling quick. On next too in quick. Just a moment. Coming up, a Packers legend says he knows exactly what Green Bay should do with Aaron Rodgers. You need to hear this idea. It might just change everything. And it's next. You're watching Get Up with Pancakes Galore on ESPN.
Is that too much?
No,
never too much.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings. Big night coming up Thursday night. The 11th annual NFL Honors, recognizing the best players and performances and plays. Keegan-Michael Key will be the host. 2-hour special Thursday, 9 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Plus, and on the NFL Network. All right, let's take a look ahead to the pending offseason here and figure out what's the best fit for some of these quarterbacks. Hey, Jeff Saturday, what's the best fit for Russell Wilson?
Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, you think about this football team. How has he been his best when his defense plays good? He can get his run game going, and he has weapons in Pittsburgh. You have to talk about a coach who's never had a losing season. I mean, all arrows point up if you're talking about Russell Wilson joining the Pittsburgh Steelers. I love it. Their offensive line's got to get better, but he's played behind worse offensive lines in his career, so I think that'd be a great fit for him.
I love that choice. Dominique, what's the best fit for Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think the Browns might be an interesting place for him to go. I think they've come to the conclusion that maybe Baker is not going to be the long-term answer there. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo isn't either, but he's shown the ability with the team, similarly constructed, a run-first kind of team. He showed the ability to get to the playoffs and get deep in the playoffs. He's not going to be perfect, but he'll give some competition to Baker, which I think Baker needs.
I like that one, too. Kmart, what's the best fit for that guy?
Dear Aaron, I don't care what you want. I want to see you stay in Green Bay because staying at Lambeau is your best shot of winning a Super Bowl. Credit to Hembo for the set. Of the 55 Super Bowl teams, the champions, 47 of them won their division. Aaron Rodgers in the NFC North, the Packers are the favorite. If he goes anywhere else, there's no guarantee they even win the division.
Yeah, that's a factor people keep coming back to on the show here, and it's interesting. And so that makes a lot of sense, right? And we all assume, well, the Packers should move heaven and earth to keep him. I want you to hear what Charles Woodson, who won a Super Bowl playing with Aaron in Green Bay, said about what he thinks the Packers should do here.
I'm putting on my GM hat, you know what I'm saying? Hey, what are we going to do this next season? And I look at the roster that we have. You know what? I'm thinking about trading Aaron Rodgers and see what I can get in return for him. Maybe I can get a quarterback that can help kind of steady my quarterback room and get some competition for Jordan Love. I'm telling LaFleur, hey, Jordan Love does not leave the building this offseason. We're going to get him prepared to play. Because when I look at the team and this defense, they have a good team. And so they know that they'll be able to go into the next season being able to be solid on that side of the ball and then let the offense catch up.
So there's Charles Woodson, Dominique, saying he thinks the Packers should trade Aaron Rodgers. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, far be it from me to disagree with Hall of Famer Charles Woodson. I think he's absolutely right, mostly not necessarily for the reason that he said, but because Aaron doesn't want to be there. Like, you tried this year to make it happen with somebody who is unhappy and doesn't want to be there, and you guys did a pretty good job, but you have not won the championship. And it's time, I think, for them to change, to move on to the next chapter. This, from what I understand, was always the plan. This was when they wanted Jordan Love to move in and take over. So go ahead and do that. Maybe Jordan Love is not the guy. You need to start looking for your next quarterback and move on, because Aaron doesn't want to be there. Don't make somebody play for you that doesn't want to play for you.
You agree with that, Kmart?
Well, the teams make guys play for them all the time when they don't want to be there. So, but we saw a little bit of the Jordan Love experiment. Didn't look all that great. Do you have confidence going into next season? Charles Woodson talked about the defense. He feels like this roster is good. Then you put a Jordan Love in there. Are you confident that this team is going to be any good with Jordan?
No. You're shaking. No, okay. They're going to be bad. But, I mean, that happens.
But so then you're just going to waste.
When you are rebuilding your franchise. I don't think that the story is over for Aaron Rodgers there. He doesn't want to be there. He's your quarterback. He doesn't want to be there. Move him while he is still valuable.
Dominique,
he might be
I'm
MVP.
Sure,
you can get
I'm
a bunch
sure in
of
your
stuff.
Life. Move I'm him. Sure in your life. Somebody was trying to move on from you, and you were like, oh, no. This is not over. We are going to make
once.
This work.
Not once. Look at not open once. Your eyes. Not once in my life has anyone ever looked at this face and be like, no, I'm good. They always.
Yes, sir.
Always.
Fair enough. But it is actually an interesting question here, Jeff. You have two choices.
Yeah.
You bring back Aaron.
Let me just help y'all right there.
Yeah.
Your boy Aaron called your boy Wood and was like, Wood, drop it out there and let the boys trade me. Because I want to get up out of Green Bay. I don't know how to say it to everybody, so make it come off of there. All the front office are like, yeah, this is what we want to do. All the coaches go, no, don't let go. Because they know they ain't nearly as good without Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
They know their team is going to struggle, and they know coaches get fired when great players leave the building.
Yes.
So they are trying to hold on. So you have tension between a front office and, you know, pseudo-ownership and the coaching staff, and you got your boy Wood out there doing your work for you, saying, hey, man, I'll buy a few cases of that wine you're selling. Let's hook up and let's take this thing out.
Yes.
You know, let's get me moved on to San Fran, maybe Denver. Let me look good. But that's the way this thing went down. Just let y'all know how this story shook out.
Boy, I really like that. okay, so but if you're the Packers, it feels to me, if we could just sort of turn this into a binary proposition, you have the option of staying with Aaron and thus running it back as best you can under the constraints of the salary cap and trying to win a championship next year, or just starting over, right? If you're going to Jordan, I want to make it clear, you're rebuilding the entire thing if you're turning the franchise over now to the young quarterback, right?
Because all the pieces, they have so many roster decisions to make. And Jordan Love, what do you play, one game this season? And
against Kansas City, yeah.
And we're running out of time to – Jordan Love on this rookie contract, we're running out of time to see if he really is the guy, can be the guy, because they brought him to be the future. But this whole time we've been wrapped up in Aaron staying, going, and Jordan Love hasn't really developed. And I think if you turn it to him, you don't know what the season is. And a lot of players like a Devontae Adams not going to want to be there for that.
No.
There's a lot of players that won't want to be there.
It is a bit unfair when you think about Jordan Love trying to meet expectations, of Aaron Rodgers while Aaron Rodgers is still playing at the level he's playing. This isn't like an aging quarterback to struggle. This is a guy who's won an MVP, might win another one.
Right.
And now you're going to just, it's just tough.
That's how Aaron Rodgers started, though, right? I mean, that's exactly what happened with him.
But Favre wasn't playing as well as Rodgers is right now when he took it over.
Pretty well. I mean, Brett Favre went to Minnesota and was better than Green Bay and could have been in the MVP of the league 2 years after he left.
The point
I'm making here is you got to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, let's say I agree with what you're saying, or at least I believe what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it that way. But we are all acting under the supposition here, Dominique, that Rodgers doesn't want to come back. If Rodgers says, you know what, I've thought about it, we've worked things out here, I do want to come back. If you're the Packers, you're keeping him no matter what, right? You are doing
that and
going from there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You try to figure it out, and you're going to have to part ways with some people. Maybe you franchise tag Devontae. Maybe not. It might give you more cap space if you give him a long-term deal. That might give you some more cap room to bring in other guys. And as long as Aaron Rodgers wants to play and is still playing at a high level, you try to build around him. But I think you're right. If he doesn't want to be there, it's only so long you can pretend to force this to work, and it hasn't worked to the degree that they want it to. Though they've had really great regular seasons, they have not made the playoff push that they expect. So it's up to Aaron Rodgers. I think the ball's in his court. If he wants to continue to be kind of open about how he feels, then let us know. If you want to be here, we're going to try our best to make it work with you. If you don't want to be here, then we'll trade you and try to fleece whatever team we trade with to get every possible thing that we can get. I want all your first round picks until 2050.
That's the thing. Another team is going to want absolutely everything. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, you go to Denver, you go to San Francisco. Those teams had to give up something to get you. Now you come in a situation, you're like, where are all the good players at that I'm supposed to
They're not
going to
give up players. My guess is they're going to give up draft picks would be my guess. And so he's going to go into a team. It's going to be similar to what they're doing with the Rams is they're going to force out all their draft picks for guys like Aaron Rodgers.
Now, and it worked for the Rams, right? There they are playing on Sunday, and 30 other teams would like to be. It's going to be very interesting to follow. In the meantime, this is a huge week in the NBA, as I mentioned, and we've got a great doubleheader for you tonight. We got DeRozan against LaMelo, so all-stars going head-to-head tonight when the Bulls take on the Hornets. And then we got superstars going tonight. We got Steph and the Warriors taking on Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. We'll also have an NBA countdown tonight starting 7 Eastern, all the latest on the trade deadline. So be with us tonight starting at 7 here on ESPN. Meanwhile, just because Brady retired doesn't mean Gronk is done with football. Wait till you hear the one quarterback Gronk says he wants to play with next season. This is fascinating, and it's next. Get up on ESPN.